Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. I am still trying to wake up here. I was sleeping so good, so good. Got mad at my wife when she woke me up. But anyway, we are here on this evening. Yah is good and greatly to be praised. And we will be continuing in discipleship, following Messiah, part three. And in this one, we're going to look at one of the parables that Messiah told to the people and how he broke this thing down and what he's actually saying in there. And that we should understand that Messiah is not a wimp, neither is the Most High a wimp, and that the day is coming when he's going to reconcile with the world. And so as we move forward in this, understand that we have to take on his nature, and we have to want to allow him to rule in our life. All right, with that being said, let me welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. I want to welcome those in North America and in South America, those that are on the African continent, in the Middle East, in the Far East, in the European theater, the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. As we go forth in this lesson, I want us to understand that the Elohim we serve, I can't say this enough, he just don't play. And when we think that he does, or we think that he's not going to judge, or that he's not going to do what he says he's going to do, then we really, as far as he is concerned, we are really saying we don't love him. And so his standard of love and what he accepts and what he don't accept are what he has established. We have to know what that is so we can do it. Because not to do it, in his eyes, we hate him. And sure don't want to, I don't believe anybody wants to hate the Most High. But this is his standard. Okay? And so his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We have to realize that. That if we believe that he has the same standards toward love that we have, then we truly are, we don't know him and we're foolish. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and jump into this. So maybe I can wake up, because like I was saying, I was fighting with that pillow and I did not want to get up. Got mad at my wife for waking me up. I was like, oh man, I got to get up though. And I'm still kind of struggling right now, because that was like one of those deep sleeps where, you know, you wake up and you ain't through with it yet. But anyway, we have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I'm chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah to you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory, 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 glory to your name. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. We thank you on today, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name. We extol thee, Father. We extol thee, we extol thee. For you are our Elohim, Father. You are, you are, you are. Hallelujah. And we will obey you. We will obey. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture for this evening. Let us go to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 9. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 9. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. May the Most High bless unto the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. Excuse me. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory.
To Yah be the glory.
For thine is the kingdom and the power
and the power. wanna follow you, Yahushua. It is written that the truth will make you free. Don't take it from me, just read. They really want to empty your pocket, telling you that you will be blessed.
Ooh, what a lie.
Asking you to give them your land. Woe to them lying creatures. Woe to them pagan worshippers. Woe to them Christian deceivers.
Yeah.
truly understand what people may say. They believe to think how we think is far from okay. But I believe it's never okay to abandon your dreams. And it just so happens that our dream is to lift up a holy king. See, this is my life, my choice, and I choose to lift up my hands. And please don't be alarmed if when the music comes on, I begin to dance. And run across the room until I can barely catch my breath. And fall on the floor because I gave it all and have nothing left. See, I'm gonna worship until I pass out. See, I came to worship. That I gotta do. See, Jesus was the only one that saved my soul. He took a chance on this broken-hearted man, grabbed my hand, and he made me whole.
Let us go to the book of Luke, chapter 19. We'll start there on this, and we're going to work in this parable. Because when we follow in Messiah, he says some things in this parable that it is imperative that we catch. Okay, so Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable. Now remember, the parables are so that they don't understand. Okay? Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of Elohim should immediately appear. It's about to happen, y'all. But he was trying to let them know it's not coming right then. Okay? And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now, this nobleman, he could have been a duke. He could have been a prince. He was not the king yet. But he was going to go into a far country to receive a kingdom and then come back. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy, stay here till I come. Now, when you're occupying somewhere, you're not just sitting around. And in this case, he wanted them to take the 10 talents that he gave them and to do something with it. But his citizens hated him. Now, he's a nobleman. Noblemen used to be over maybe a city, a town, a district, but they weren't the king. And he has people who are under him. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, this nobleman is Messiah. And his citizens are saying, we will not have him to reign over us. Hear what he's saying. Because this parable, they're thinking that he's talking about someone else. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. The Most High wants us, he gives us gifts, he gives us a means, and he wants us to do something with those gifts while he is away. And when he returns, he's going to make accountability. These are parts of your works in following him. So you either are going to follow him and do the work, or you hate him. Let me say that again. You're either going to follow him and do the work, or you hate him. There's no in-betweens. Okay? Verse 15 again, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained training. Then came the first saying, Master, Yeshua, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. He said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Because, see, we're supposed to rule with him. The one who's going to be telling you what cities you're over and assigning the cities to you is the king, Messiah. And the second came saying, Master, or Yeshua, or Yah, thy pound have gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came saying, Master, or Yeshua, or Yah, behold, here is thy pound. Here is what you gave me, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared you, because thou art an austere man. Now, Yah says to fear him. But people don't know why they're supposed to fear him. And this man knows. You are an austere. You are austere means rough. You don't play. I feared you because you are an austere, a rough man. Thou takest up that thou laid down not, and reapest that thou did not sow. Sounds like a man over the mafia, the head of the mafia, got people working for him, sowing where he himself didn't work. You knew. Verse 20, he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. Will I judge you, thou wicked servant. So how does Most High see you as being wicked? I told you to occupy and I told you to trade. And I told you to increase the money that I gave you. And you didn't do anything with it. You didn't do what I told you to do. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid down not, and reaping that I did not sow. You knew this. Wherefore then gavest not thou money, thou my money, to the bank? Why didn't you put my money in the bank then, fool? At least I could have got some interest off of it. And at my coming, I might have required my own with usury. My own with interest. You let it sit up in a napkin. It ain't doing a daggone thing. He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound that I gave him, and give it to him that had 10 pounds. Now, everybody around said what? Master or Yeshua or Yah, he has 10 pounds already. Okay? Now hear what Messiah says. For I say unto you that unto everyone which has shall be given. Now what do you have? This man had, but he didn't do anything with it. And if you do something with what I have given you, I'm going to give you more because you've shown that you are responsible, that you will do something with it. And from him that has not, even that he has, shall be taken from him. So if you're trying to play like this, what he calls the wicked servant, and you are holding on to what the Most High gave you, I'm going to keep it safe for you. I'm going to give it back to you when you come back. He says, you are wicked. You are foolish. Give me back what I gave you. Now you don't have nothing. This could also equate to your salvation. Because if we equate our salvation, which he gave to us, and we don't go and we don't share it, and we don't increase, then he might even take our salvation back. Luke chapter 19, and we are in verse 27. Luke chapter 19, verse 27. But those my enemies, who are his enemies? Remember his citizens that they said, we will not have this man to rule over us? When we are looking at this stuff today, we think that, you know, as long as we proclaim his name and we say we love him, but we don't do what he says to do, he says, we are his enemies. We don't want him to rule over us. When we are disobedient, we are saying we don't want to do what you said to do. And he's just going to forgive us. He's not. But those my enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them here and slay them before me. Hold your finger there. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Because this is critical to the citizens of the kingdom, those that are, say they're following Messiah, but only following him in word, not in deed. Okay. And who are disobedient to him and say that, oh, well, he'll forgive me. Hebrews chapter 10. Starting in verse 26. Because see, this is to the citizens of the kingdom. For if we sin after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. I came and died for you. I returned unto the Father to return unto heaven until I should receive the kingdom. And when I come back, I'm going to hold accountable everybody in the kingdom. So I gave you my spirit, and I gave you a talent, and I told you to use it to bring people into the kingdom, to increase, to trade with. In this case, bring souls to the kingdom, increase the finances of the kingdom, increase the holdings of the kingdom. Okay? So if we disobey, if we willfully disobey after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment. Messiah says, oh, you wanted to disobey me? You didn't want to do what I said to do? You didn't do what I said to do. Bring him here. Put him in front of me. And kill him or her in front of me. That's the judgment. Now throw them in the lake. Fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. See, these are people who know Messiah, who willfully sin. They know they're sinning, and they willfully do it. They willfully disobey. He says that they are adversaries. Your adversary is your enemy. So it goes back to that parable. And those citizens that would not have me to rule over them, bring them here and slay them in front of me. Because people think, they think Messiah's playing. But he's not. It's not a game with him. And he tells us what's going to happen. You knew I was a rough man. You knew that I took up where I had not laid down. You know I collected where I had not sown. I gave it to you to do. And you didn't do it. And you were disobedient. You broke my laws, my statutes, my commandments. And thought that I was going to have mercy when you knew what you were doing. Verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Because the Most High said, don't have mercy. If they break my commandments, it's proven that they broke my commandments, don't have mercy on them. Especially if they knew what they were doing. So they were to die without mercy. We are being told, oh, just sin. The Messiah loves you. He's merciful, and he will have mercy on you. He will always forgive you. See, these are lies. It is the corruption of the truth. He will not have mercy on you if you willfully disobey him. It's not his nature. It's not his way. And he says, because you willfully disobeyed me, you are my enemy. You are my adversary. You don't really want me to reign over you. So he calls those people enemies. They want to call themselves children of the Most High. But what they have done is change the truth of Elohim into a lie. And that's what we got to stay away from that. We're following him. We have to obey him with all our heart, with our whole heart. We can't let wife or mother or daughter or father or brother or sister or even our own self take us away from that. But this is an exception. There are no exceptions. There are none. So he takes us back and says, go back to the law of Moses. And by two or three witnesses, if two or three witnesses came and testified and said, yeah, we know that this person did this thing, and it called for death, you were put to death without mercy, without a second thought. Verse 29. Now we are up under Messiah. We are up under a different covenant. Because see, that was the covenant covered by bulls and goats, by animals. He says, now you are up under the blood of Messiah. How much worse punishment? Suppose you, do you think, shall he be thought worthy? Messiah said, I came and died for you. Got you out of trouble. Went away to wait to receive the kingdom. To return as your king. And I got back here and found that you were disobeying. You were disobedient. You disrespected what I did for you. You deserve a worse punishment. What punishment do you think you're worthy of? If they died up under the law of Moses, what do you think you deserve? Seeing it is a better covenant that you have broken. Who is trodden underfoot the son of Elohim? You're not just trodden underfoot the blood of bulls and goats. You're trotting underfoot the blood of Messiah. Just stepping on it. Like, it ain't nothing. Ain't nothing to this. And has counted the blood of the covenant. The blood of the covenant. The blood that Messiah shed. Wherewith he was sanctified. He was set apart. A unholy thing. Because see, we don't look at it that way. We're not taught to look at it that way. You have spit on what Messiah did and said, you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to have him rule over me. See, we don't look at it that way. We look at it as, oh, we're human. I'm only human. He knows my heart. He said, if it was in your heart to obey me, you would have obeyed me. And because you didn't obey me, you are my enemy. But yeah, I was just a little bit disobedient. You were disobedient and you knew. Willfully. All of this goes together. It goes together. It goes together. And the message that it's sending is, I don't play. I'm a rough Elohim. And you are trying to take advantage of my grace and my mercy. Because in Torah, I would not have forgiven you for willful sin. I never have. Hope I get that mosquito. I never have. They willfully disobeyed me. He said, I told you, your iniquity, your sin, your transgression shall remain upon you. I didn't forgive it. And so now you are up in the Messiah. I came and I died for you. I laid down my life so that you could come to me, because there was no other way for you to come to me. You are all willfully sinning. You knew what was wrong. Even when you knew, you still did it. And then you came to me and you said you wanted me to be your Lord and your Master, your Redeemer and your Savior. And you disrespected me. Now, how should I punish you? Hear what he's saying. All those, my citizens, who would not have me to rule over them, bring them here in front of me and kill them. He ain't playing. He's not a joke. And people have twisted his words. The pastors and the teachers and the mores, they have twisted his words. Why? You'll have to ask them. Maybe he's not allowing them to see it. Maybe they just don't know. Or maybe they just want an excuse. Because, see, when you hear these types of things, most people will run. Because they're not really wanting to change. They're wanting to stay doing what they were doing. And then using the blood of Messiah like a sin ATM. Let me go withdraw some blood. Messiah, you're going to have to forgive me. He don't play that way. He says, I want you to know that I'm an austere, I'm a rough man. I don't play. Now, if this was somebody in the real world and we were dealing, as I said, with the mafia, and you disrespected, I don't even know what the name is for the head of the mafia, the Don, you knew if he found out you were going to be killed. And those people in the mafia, they are more afraid of that man than they are the Most High. He is their God. And when it comes to the Most High, because we ain't dying right away, we don't fear him. But he's saying, I'm going to reconcile. And when I'm reconciling, I have it written down what you have done. Everything you have done, your works are written in a book. And they're going to be recited to you at your judgment. And everything that you did, that you willfully did, that was wrong as one of my citizens, every time you did it, you weren't saying you love me. You said you hate me. You said you hated me. Most I didn't hate you. Oh. See, I'm not, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. I told you my ways. If you disrespect me, you die. You don't get a slap on the hand. You don't get time out. You don't get to go to purgatory, serve your time, and come out. You got to know what the cost is. This is the cost of disobeying. I'm not an unrighteous Elohim. I'm not unjust. If you were ignorant, I understand. I understand. I get it. You didn't know. Because surely if you knew how I was, you would not have done it. But I want you to know how I am. I want you to know who you're following. I'm a rough man. I'm a rough Elohim. I don't play. You know, I could see him in that case using some explicit, because we understand explicit. Use a curse word here, a curse word there, and we get it. but I'm a rough man. And what I'm over, I rule with a rod of iron. I came into this world and I died for you. And I came meek and humble. I could have judged you then. I could have judged the world then and took the throne then. But I came to save that which was lost. That which was lost from the beginning, mankind. I wasn't just coming for Israel. I came first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's not the only reason I came. I came to regain the kingdom. And so while I was away, every one of you that came to me, that came and put yourself under the blood, under the covenant, I had an expectation for you. And the expectation was that you would continue in my word, that you would do what I commanded you to do. And instead, you have done despite unto the spirit of grace. Because people don't understand grace. And, you know, especially, well, I haven't heard a pastor or a more in Israel explain grace. Yet, they make grace all kind of things, but not really what true grace is. Because if you don't understand how the Most High, if you don't understand how he rules, you can't understand his grace. It is impossible. So you will take grace and you will say, oh, it is unmitigated favor. It is the favor of Elohim. And he will forgive you your sin. And he will keep extending grace to you. It is a twisting of his truth. That's not his way. In Torah, he says, the soul that sins impetuously, willfully, his iniquity shall remain upon him. This is how I rule. You willfully disobey me, you can't be forgiven for that. And you have to suffer the penalty. Death. And then he says, all right. All have sinned and fallen short. Really, all have blasphemed me and fallen short. Because he separates sin and blasphemy. And see, we want to make blasphemy one of these. We want to make blasphemy some mythical, I won't even say mythical, some atrocious act that you disrespected something holy. So if you walked into the church with a cigarette in your mouth, or if you cussed on the altar, or what some people were doing, having sex on the altar. There were people doing this stuff that you blasphemed. Or if you said that you were Elohim, depending upon your understanding, like Messiah said, they would say you blasphemed. But we know that blasphemy, the definition for blasphemy by the scriptures is willful disobedience to God. To Elohim, knowing that we are doing wrong and still doing it. That is blasphemy. He says, all manner of sin and blasphemies shall be forgiven unto men. There's a difference. There's sin that you're doing that you don't know is sin. And there's sin that you're doing that you know is sin, and he calls it blasphemy. Willful disobedience. That's blasphemy. Because people will say, when people hear that, you got to cringe. Made me cringe. Most High. Now that I know that, Father, I will not ever do that again. Still don't know if he will have mercy. but for those that don't know. And being taught in error, they are saying they belong to Messiah. They are a citizen in his kingdom. And every time they are willfully disobedient, they are saying, we will not have you to rule over us. We're going to do what we want to do. And you just got to forgive us, King. Bring that one here. Oh, you think it's like that? Give me that sword. Whack! Cut you in half. Whack! Off with your head. Kill them before me. Because they think I'm playing. See, people don't understand this rod of iron. I'm going to rule you with a rod of iron. You can't bend. Take some rebar. It ain't got to really even be a thick piece of iron. And try to bend it. You can't. Not with all your might. You might be able to use something else and bend it, but you yourself won't bend it. He's saying, I'm going to be unbending. If the law calls for your life, you're going to give your life. If the law calls for your hand, you're going to give your hand. Whatever the law calls for, and 99% of the law, if you break it, calls for your life. Why do people think that he's playing? Why do they think that he's, and from his regard, he's all merciful? Because I should have killed you to begin with. If you know who I am, and you understand my position, and you understand my ways, things in my creation don't break my laws. And anything in my creation that does has to be removed from my kingdom, from this creation. Got to be removed. He said, but you know what? That's what I used to do to y'all. When I made the covenant with you with bulls and goats, the blood of animals, I gave you death if you transgress. But you deserve something worse than that. What punishment do you suppose? What do you think is worthy? What do you think is, what's the word I'm looking for here? What do you think is a fit punishment, a worthy punishment for this? Because you have spat on what I did. And you have taken advantage of and you despise the spirit of grace. The spirit of grace. I'm the spirit of grace. I'm the one extending grace. And the fact that I'm extending grace and forgiving you for something that I never would have in the past. That's my grace. See, people need to understand that. I never forgave willful sin in the past. I'm going to give you one-time chance. You come to me. You repent. You turn away from your evil ways, your sin. And I'm going to forgive even your willful sin. That's grace. I'm going to forgive your blasphemy. That is grace because I never did that. I forgave your sin when it was ignorant. All you had to do was bring you had to acknowledge it, repent and turn away from it, even if it was ignorant. When you learned about it, you acknowledged it. And I allowed you to bring a sacrifice to atone for the ignorant sin once you learned it. Most I have transgressed. I got a mark on my record. I need to get that mark off my record. I didn't know I was doing it, but now I know. Here's a sin offering and here's a peace offering. He says, and I would accept it from you. But when you willfully disobeyed me, I told you, I ain't forgiven that. So now, I'm going to extend grace to you. I'm going to extend grace to mankind. One time, because people think that this thing goes on forever and ever and ever. Thinks that they can just ask for mercy and, oh, we have an advocate. An advocate. Somebody on our side. Do you really think Messiah is going to advocate for you if you were willfully disobedient? Because he always said, he said it on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Most High always forgave for that, for they know not what they do. He didn't say, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. Because the Most High, that's going against his way. That's against how he operates. So he says, I'm going to extend grace. I know you were willfully disobedient, and you have been. You want to be right with me? I'm going to give you this one chance. Confess your sin. You can't confess ignorant sin because you don't know it's sin. So when anything that we confess, we knew it was wrong. And we were willfully doing it because we knew it was wrong. And we still did it. So we confessed our willful sin. Because you can't confess what you don't know. Even if you're wrong in it. If you don't know. When you learn about it, then you confess it. And he is true and just to forgive us. That's his righteousness. That's his justice. He's not unjust. Oh, you were sinning. You didn't know it? Come here. Let me cut off your head anyway. You were in transgression. And I know you were ignorant of it. See, men do that. So I'm saying this morning, men act that way. Men will tell you ignorance of the law is no excuse. You get caught, you've broken a law, and you didn't know that it was a law. We still going to exact the penalty against you because ignorance of the law is no excuse in this world. That's unjust. That's not righteous. That's to take advantage of you. Moses says, I'm not that way. You get caught doing something that you didn't know was wrong. You confess it. Moses, I didn't know that was wrong. I know it now. And I can make, and I will make atonement for you. I will advocate for you. Because you're not trying to willfully be disobedient. But now you know, go and sin no more. But you know, I'm a whole different person. When you know what you're doing. I don't play. These are his citizens. People think these are rank sinners. People that don't know the Most High. These are people that know him, that have accepted salvation, redemption in his name. And they continue to willfully sin. They continue to blaspheme. He said, you deserve a punishment worse than death. Worse than death. And without mercy. So the Most High ain't going to have mercy on anybody that he throws into the lake. Here's what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to give you eternal life. And then I'm going to judge you according to your works. So you can't die because I gave you eternal life. And you either are going to enter into my kingdom in peace with me for eternity, or you're going to go into the lake alive, can't die, for eternity. That's the punishment that you deserve that's worse than death. See, at death, the body don't feel nothing. People be talking about people coming back and saying that they're in heaven or they're in this place. It's not what the word of Yah says. And people have to believe what they have to believe, okay? But that's not what the word of Yah says. Yah says the dead know nothing. You ain't hurting. You ain't suffering. You're kind of in a state of limbo until the judgment. And when the judgment comes, you're either going to receive life or you're going to receive death. There's no in between. There ain't no county jail and federal prison in the kingdom. There is either you are in the kingdom or you are in the lake of fire. Ain't no in between. And if you get the lake of fire, he already told you, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You can't weep and gnash of teeth if you can't feel it. And he says that is torment. That's what you deserve. Eternal torment. Worse than death. Because you die, that's over with. You don't know nothing. You don't feel nothing. There is no torture. But the Most High says, I'm going to torture you forever. Torment is torture. And I made a system for eternal beings. That's why he gives us eternity. I made a system. I designed the lake of fire for the devil and his angels. They were disobedient. They were designed for that. Any of the angels that left their former estate, they are eternal. They get the same penalty. Because this fire is designed to torment spiritual beings. So if anything eternal, like the angels, didn't want to be ruled by the Most High, they left their former estate and did what they wanted to do. If they came down and gave man knowledge that the Most High didn't want man to have, if they came down and they could take on a human form and they married the daughters of men and made giants, if they did those things, they did not want the Most High to rule over them. And the Most High says, there's a day coming. And I have prepared a fire that torments eternal beings, angels, and demons. I'm going to cast you into this lake of fire. Now, mankind, I made you like me. And I made you where I could join with your spirit, my spirit join with yours, and I give you eternal life with my spirit. But I'm going to transform you in the blink of an eye. You bat your eye, 1 minute you were mortal, or 1 second, 1 blink ago you were mortal, the next blink, you're immortal. Just that quick. This don't take time to happen. In a moment, in the blink of an eye, you were mortal 1 second. The next second, you were immortal. Now the lake of fire will affect you. And everybody who was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life shall be cast into the lake of fire, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is most people that have dealt with Messiah, not understanding he don't play. My citizens that didn't like me. Let's go back to that verse and we'll call it a night. Because I think that's enough for this night. Let's go back to that verse. Let's go back to Luke chapter 19. Start in verse 10. Let's reread this parable. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 10. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem. He's near to Jerusalem. And because they thought that the kingdom of Elohim should immediately appear, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. He is the nobleman. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Stay here, maintain, not only just maintain, but also increase my wealth, my holdings, until I come back. Don't just sit here and do nothing. Because we have one that did that. But his citizens, he's a nobleman. He's got people up under him that he has rulership over. His citizens hated him. The Most High says, I love them that love me. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I show mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. But the rest of them that don't keep my commandments, they hate me. Hear him, because he's consistent all the way through. But his citizens hated him. These are people up under his rulership. And sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We will not have him to rule us. We will not do what he says to do. We want to do what we want to do. We don't think he rules right. We don't think his judgments are right. We don't think his ways are right. Did not the Most High accuse Israel of that? Israel told the Most High, Most High, your ways are not just. They are not right. And the Most High came back and said, are not my ways just and your ways unjust? And so we have the world thinking that they can come under him and say they claim his name, they claim his, claim the blood, claim redemption and salvation up under him, want to claim the prize, but don't want to obey. Don't want to keep his commandments. Think it's only for Israel. This is for the world. That was, what was lost was the world from the very beginning, from Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve put mankind in this situation, and because the Most High chose Israel as a priesthood and to save them first, to bring truth back into the world and to reestablish the kingdom, the world wants to think that this don't apply to them. That applies to those Jews. No, it applies to mankind, period. We want to claim Messiah. He's our king, but we hate him, and we don't want to do what he says do. We want to do some of what he says, but some of the stuff he says to do, we don't want to do it. We don't want to do what he says to do. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Just do what I tell you to do. And it came to pass, verse 15, Luke 19, verse 15, and it came to pass that when he was returned, I went away to get a kingdom. Now he's returned, having received the kingdom. I went away a nobleman. I was a duke. I was a prince. I reigned over a few people. Now I'm back and I'm the king and I reign over all of y'all. And my word is sovereign. I am sovereign. If you understand a king is not like a president. A king is sovereign in his kingdom. That means that he don't answer to anybody else in his kingdom. The king has the power of life and death in his kingdom. If you approach the king and he didn't give you permission, all he had to do was make a sign to the guard and the guard would kill you. The right sign from the king and the guard would kill you. Another sign from the king, the guard would put you to your knees. You're going to show respect. You're not going to disrespect. Even the king's queen would not approach him without permission. That's how sovereign the king is. His own wife has to get an appointment to see him. Go look at Esther. She just didn't approach the king because she, you know, had a fear for her people. She had to get permission to approach him. So we got to understand that there are some protocols, some rules that we don't want to acknowledge because we don't really want to acknowledge the king. We want to make ourselves equal to the king. That's how this country was formed. America was formed because they did not want to be up under the king of England or the king of France or the king of Spain. They wanted to be equal to the king. They wanted to be sovereign citizens and only report to themselves. Because that's what the king is. He's all powerful in his kingdom. So when they formed this country, they created the Constitution to where they were equal to the king, every person, except for those they bought in slavery. Equal to the king. Now Messiah says, I return and I got my kingdom and I am the king and I'm sovereign. What I say goes in my kingdom. And all you that hate me and don't want me to rule over you, verse 15, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. How much did you earn? How much did you earn? Did you just keep my money? Did you make more money with it? Did you increase my wealth? Did you increase my power? Because we're supposed to be doing that in every nation that we're in. Getting land. Getting more money for the kingdom. That we can present it to the king when he returns. See, Messiah, this is what I've been doing for you. This is what I have earned for you. Then came the first saying, Master, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. Here is the pound you gave me. It's gained 10 pounds. I increased it tenfold. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because you have been faithful in very little, I gave you a pound, you multiplied it by 10, have you authority over 10 cities? I'm going to make you a ruler. Now, these are people who also, what this parable is not saying, gave their lives to him, literally. Suffered with him. And the second came saying, Master, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. Now, this is going along with Revelations. chapter 2, and he says, and all those who overcame and got a throne, they had to rule like he ruled. So these servants that have 5 cities and 10 cities, they can't rule how they want to rule. They got to rule the same way Messiah rules. They are up under him. He says, and I'm going to rule with a rod of iron. Stiff. You wouldn't obey before. You thought that you could sin and break the law. And if you got caught, then you pleaded for mercy. There shall be no mercy. See, we don't want to hear that. When I come to rule, there will be no mercy. Because you're going to know what's right and wrong. I'm going to make sure. And if you transgress, then I'm going to take out the full penalty of the law. Verse 19. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came saying, Master, behold, here is your pound that you gave me, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You are a rough man. I fear you, but I ain't do what you said to do. You told me to occupy and to gain money by trading. I didn't want to trade. That ain't my call in life. So I laid it up for you. Here it is. I don't owe you anything. You don't owe me anything. I know that you take up and you didn't lay down anything. You didn't put nothing down. And I know that you reap where you did not sow. I know this about you. Because I fear you. I didn't want to upset the balance. I didn't want to move one way or the other. I'm just going to hold on to what you gave me. And when you come back, I'm going to give it back to you. And he said unto him, out of your own mouth will I judge you, you wicked servant. Remember, this is a citizen in his kingdom. This is somebody that says they followed him. They're up under his rulership. They're up under his reign, but they didn't want to do what he said do. They didn't really want him to reign over them. You told me to do something with this money. Here's your money back. Thou wicked servant, thou knewest that I was an austere man. You knew I was a rough man. Taking up that I laid down not, and reaping that I did not sow. I didn't plant that wheat, but I got some of it, 10% of it. You knew this. I didn't write that computer program, and you got $1,000 for it, you got $1,000,000 for it, but I got 10% of that too. I didn't take care of that sick person. You got paid for it, but I got 10% of that too. Yeah, I'm reaping where I did not sow. You know this. And you still didn't do what I said do. You didn't do anything but what I gave you. Wherefore then givest not thou my money? Why didn't you give my money into the bank? That at my coming I might have required my own money, that pound I gave you, with some interest. At least you got some interest off of it. But no, you didn't even do that. You didn't really fear me because you thought that it was going to be all good. He said, unto them that stood, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. That what I gave you, take it from him. give it to somebody else that's going to do something with it. And they said unto him, Master, he has 10 pounds already. For I say unto you, that unto everyone which has shall be given. They already had money that he gave them, had salvation. They didn't increase it. And from him that has not, even that he has shall be taken away from him. Now, the wicked are going to be removed. So what do you think is going to happen to this man that he just took this pound from? If that pound is your salvation, he just took it from you. Because you were an enemy. You were wicked, and you were an enemy of his. But those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither, bring them here, and slay, kill them before me, in front of me. I want to see them die. Now, don't take them off to some far mountain or out of the city. Right here in front of my throne, kill them. Do we hear what he's saying? Do we understand? Do we accept it? Do we think it's a mistranslation? Oh, the Most High would never do that. He would never do that. He's a loving and merciful Elohim. He loves me. Most High says, I love them that love me. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not if you love me, you will be disobedient. They have twisted this thing up so much and confused people so much that people are going to be making decisions. They're going to bring them death in the lake of fire. I pray we can hear this. Say you belong to Messiah. That's why he says, don't take my name in vain. He's not saying don't use my name and say a bad word with it. He's saying, don't enter into this relationship with me, say you belong to me, and then treat it like it is nothing. You don't honor the rules and the protocols of the relationship, of the contract. You entered into a relationship with me, and in this relationship, you take on my name. You become part of my family. And then you want to disrespect me? You think that that's cool? You think that that's all right? You think, you know what, I love you so much, I'll just forgive you anyway. It don't matter what you do. I'm a loving and kind and merciful Elohim, and I'll forgive you. No, that's a lie from the pits of hell. That is a twisting of his word. Let's get the scripture. 1 second, and we are out of here. I still feel like I want to go fight with the pillow. Let me get this verse. Let's go get Psalms chapter 2, verse 19. I mean, verse 9. Psalms chapter 2, verse 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like the potter's vessel. It's talking about the wicked. Revelations 2 and 27. Revelation, Psalms 9, 2 and 9 is talking about Messiah. Okay. Revelations 2 and 27 is talking about to them that overcome. The book of Revelations chapter 2. We probably got to get verses 26 and 27. Okay, let me get that. Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 26. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end. Do what I say do. I gave you a job. Who keeps my works. Offer reconciliation. Teach people the truth. Let them know what they're supposed to be doing. To him will I give power over the nations. I'll give some of you power. I'll give some of you rulership over 10 cities. Some of you a rulership over 5 cities. And he shall rule them. He that overcometh shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. The peoples, even as I received of my Father. So they can't rule different than him. They got to rule with a rod of iron. Let's get Revelation chapter 12. Because if you didn't know Psalm 2 and 9 was about Messiah, you will surely know this is Messiah. Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child, this is talking about Israel, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto Elohim and to his throne. Messiah is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Messiah told us in Revelation chapter 2 that whosoever overcomes and keeps his works, not our own works, he shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nation, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty Elohim. See, Messiah is going to rule with a rod of iron, and anybody that overcomes has to rule with a rod of iron. And our last verse, Exodus 19, or Exodus 20. And let me get the verse. Exodus chapter 20, and let me get the verse, and we will be done for this evening. Because you have to understand that if you claim to serve him, if you are his citizen, if you're up under the blood, then he has an expectation. And the expectation is that you serve him with your whole heart, with all that you have. Exodus chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yahweh Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, my citizens that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. if you are disobedient, if you are willfully disobedient to the Most High, he says you are his adversary. You are his enemy. You're not just a disobedient child. You are my enemy. Those are strong words. Because the Most High says he's going to come back and fight against the enemies. So we want to think that, oh, these are just all sinners. Well, as far as the Most High is concerned, you're a sinner. You're wicked. You didn't obey him. Even when he provided a way for salvation, you chose not to take it. Chose to walk in your own understanding and in your own ways. Because I'm going to visit your iniquity upon you. But I'm going to show mercy. He didn't say to millions. To thousands of them. That ain't a lot of people that love me and keep my commandments. You want to make it in? You got to love me. You got to keep my commandments. You got to walk in my ways. You got to enter into the narrow gate. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Because I'm an austere man. I don't play. I don't play. You knew that I was a rough man. You knew that I don't play around. You knew that my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And rather than doing what I said to do, you chose to do what you wanted to do. Bring them here. Because they're calling my name. They say they love me. But they don't keep my commandments. They don't keep my laws and my statutes and my judgments. They don't really love me. If they say they do, bring them here and kill them in front of me. People don't tell people that. Pastors don't tell their congregations that. Mores don't tell their camps that. Because when people hear those types of words, then they don't want to serve the Most High. They want to serve the Elohim of their mind and not him. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's simple. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. If you say you are a citizen of the Most High, if you say that you claim Messiah as your Savior, then understand who you are serving. He don't play. He never has. And if you think you can get by off his mercy and his grace, and you don't understand his mercy and his grace, I have mercy on them that love me and keep my commandments. If you are disobedient to him, I'm not having mercy. If you are willfully disobedient, I'm not having mercy on you. I'm going to kill you without a second thought. Without mercy. I'm not even going to consider it. That's who we serve. That's the Elohim of the scriptures. That's the one that's filling people with his spirit. Know who you're serving and consider the cost. You're either going to do right or you're going to do wrong. You're either going to choose life or you're choosing death. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. For this is your whole duty. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening, if you're able to.
Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the Ruach and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and his kingdom will reign.
Shalom, brother and sister Miles. Shalom, family.
Shalom, family. Peace and blessings to you all. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Remember to fear Yah and keep his commandments.
Amen.